The Boston Tea Party, December 16, 1773. The quarrel did not stop. It never does when men have courage to be free. The Americans had that courage. They would not be taxed without their consent. When the King, George III, determined to let them have no tea except that which was sent in his own ships, they said, "We will have no tea at all." Their own ships were stopped from going for cargoes of tea. The King's ships only were to bring it. They could have no tea unless they bought that which the King's ships brought over from England, and that tea was taxed. Now, it was not the tax only. That was only a few cents on each pound of tea. It was the right of the King to tax that the Americans disputed. They did not care for the money. They cared for the right to import their own teas. It was as if a big bully boy should say to the small boys, "Pay me a marble or you shall not play on the green." It was not the marble each little boy would mind. Nobody cares much for a marble. "But what right have you to make us pay a marble for coming in here to play?" the little boys would ask. "The ground is as much ours as yours. It is a tax. We will not pay it." It was just this with the Americans. And so when the King sent three ships laden with tea to Charleston, and four to Philadelphia, and three to New York, and three to Boston, the people in Charleston, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston determined the tea should not be landed. In Charleston, indeed, they did land it, but no one dared to sell it, and it perished in the cellars where it was stored. In Philadelphia, 5,000 people collected and frightened the captains of the tea ships so that they set sail back to England. New York did the same. The tea did not come into port there. All but 18 chests went back to England, the owners of the tea being afraid of the people. In Boston, it was different. The three ships came into port. They were loaded with tea. Governor Hutchinson was determined it should be landed. The people were determined it should not. And it is to this quarrel between the governor and the people which is now to be told. It was a bright Sunday morning, that 29th of November, 1773. The bells in Boston were ringing for church. Parents and children were dressed in their best. To the Old South, to King's Chapel, and to other places of worship, everybody was hastening. No shops were open, no wagons crowded the streets. No sellers cried their wares, no boys were at play. It was the Lord's Day, and all the people kept it holy. At 11 o'clock, while the ministers were preaching, there came the news that the Dartmouth was in sight. She was coming up the bay. No sooner had the services ended than the people, coming out of meeting, got the news. It spread from one to the other. "The Dartmouth is in," was in everybody's mouth. Groups stopped in the streets. It was not the sermons now, but the news everybody was talking about. What was to be done? No one knew. It was Sunday, but the hours were precious. If they waited till Monday, the tea might be landed. And so, God's day though it was, the select men had a meeting at noon and a meeting in the evening. And now was coming on the bravest day Boston had ever seen. Mr. Roch owned the Dartmouth. The selectmen got his promise not to land the tea till Tuesday. They then sent men to Dorchester, Foxbury, Brookline, Cambridge, and Charleston to tell the people there would be a meeting at Fenway Hall Monday morning. The people came in so great crowds that the meeting had to adjourn to the Old South Meeting House. There were 5,000 persons present, John Hancock and Samuel Adams and Dr. Warren, and all the patriots were there. They resolved that the tea should not be landed. Governor Hutchinson sent the sheriff to disperse the meeting, but he was hissed out of the house. Six persons were appointed post riders to arouse the country people. Five persons were chosen to talk with the governor, and 24 sturdy young men were named to stand on the wharves, 12 by day and 12 by night, to ring the bells and hoist the lanterns to call the people together if the ship should begin to land her cargo. Meanwhile, the other two tea ships arrived. There were now three, all laden with tea. The six post riders kept the country people informed of this. These brave farmers were ready to start for Boston in an instant. It looked like a fight. It is better to wait, the selectmen said. Perhaps we can induce the governor to send the ships back to England. And so, from day to day, they talked and pleaded with him to order the ships away. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday came. Meetings were held every day. Hardly any ordinary business was done in Boston. A committee waited on the governor every morning. He would not yield. The tea shall be landed, he said. There were ships of war in the harbor and British troops in the town, and he thought he could compel the citizens. But he did not know them. They were full of the spirit of liberty, and night and day, neglecting everything not necessary to be done, shutting up their shops, closing the schools, stopping drays and wagons, carts and barrows from work in the streets, and even closing the markets, these Boston citizens did little during 4 days but stand talking in groups at the corners or hold meetings on the common. What they wanted was that Governor Hutchinson should send the tea ships back to England. It was now Thursday morning, December 16th, 1773. Mr. Roch had kept his promise not to land the tea from the ships, but the people wanted more. Until the sails were spread and the three vessels were underway down the harbor, they would not be content. He must see the governor and get a pass for the clearance of his ships instantly. The poor man was frightened. He went to the government house, but the governor had gone to Milton. Mounting his horse, he then galloped out of town towards Milton to find the governor and obtain the pass. At 3 in the afternoon, a meeting was held at the Old South. A great many people had come in from the country, and what with them and the citizens, the house was full. While they were waiting the return of Mr. Roch, speeches were made by Adams and Hancock and Young. The meeting cheered the speakers and appointed the resolutions, and when the vote was taken, shall the tea be landed? And every man cried out, no. There went up a hurrah that shook the roof. The people outside caught up the cheer, and all along Washington Street and up School Street and down Water Street and Milk Street, the huzzas filled the air. But it was in December, and the days were short. It was past 5 o'clock. Out of doors, the twilight was fading into night, and in the meeting house, it was becoming dark. While the people were growing impatient and calls were made for lights, and some cried one thing and some another, Mr. Roch arrived. Samuel Adams stood up and said, order! Mr. Roch has come back from the governor. Hear what he has to say. All became quiet and listened. The poor, tired man stood up and answered, I cannot send back the tea. The governor will not give the vessels a pass. This meeting, then, said Adams, can do no more to save the country. And the great crowd of people in the meeting house poured out into the street. On the instant, a shout was heard from a body of men disguised as Indians coming along, clad in blankets with painted faces and brandished tomahawks, crying the war whoop as they passed the door. They proceeded to the wharf. The people shouted as they passed. Numbers followed them, posting guards at the docks, obeying the orders of their leader, committing no outrage upon persons or property, these young patriots took possession of the three tea ships. At once, pulleys and tackles were at work, hoisting the tea chests out of the holds. Men stood ready to handle them. As the windlass hove up each chest, an axe broke in its head, and its contents were poured into the sea. No one disturbed the workers. The stars were shining brightly overhead. The work was plied far into the night, and when it was done, all separated without noise and went home to bed. Next morning, there was not a chest of tax tea in Boston, on shipboard or on shore. Mr. Roch was sorry, and the governor angry, but the tea was safe in salt water, and the people returned to their work.